Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Terry Bradshaw and the Fox Super 6 are giving away $5,000 for the NFL schedule release on Wednesday. Download the app and play for free and tune in to the release show on FS1 and NFL Network Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, one of the questions is, which team will be in the Thanksgiving game on Fox on November 25th? Packers, Vikings, Bears, Cardinals, or Eagles? Colin?
No idea. Hopefully it's, well, I mean, listen, if Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers, boy, is that going to screw with the schedule.
Oh, everything.
I mean, that's, you got to take him off those 4 o'clock Eastern games. You got to put him at the 1 o'clock window. I mean, yep. Aaron leaving Green Bay, I can't speak for the rest of the league. I can speak for Fox. It would change our schedule. It
changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, here's an NFL story. Tim Tebow is going to sign a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars and be a tight end. The reasons it works, Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow have a very strong relationship. Tim's also... I think with Urban Meyer, we'll know his role. It's a one-year deal. We all know Trevor Lawrence is the future. Here's what worries me. Tebow's fans are wackos. They're just, it's hard to explain. And Trevor Lawrence is going to struggle because he's a rookie, and he's going to have bad games and pick sixes, and that's the reality of it. And the Tebow fanatics, who are always delusional, will come out of the woodwork. Listen, nothing against Tebow. He's not an NFL quarterback. Well, he won a bunch of games in a row. A lot of guys. Mark Wilson. I remember Mark Wilson in the NFL. He won a bunch of games in a row. You can win a bunch of games in a row. It doesn't mean you're a great franchise quarterback. Tebow's not a quarterback in the NFL. He's not. I argued this years ago. Years ago. He's a tight end. He's an H-back. He's a tight end. He's a good kid. He works hard. He's got a certain ethos that I think works in the NFL. He makes your locker room better. But when he was, you know, he had that kind of Tebow zeitgeist, and it was all this. I mean, they were doing Saturday Night Live skits on it. He was playing awful football. They'd put him at the end of the game. The defense would go into a prevent. He'd complete 5 or 6 passes. The Broncos had a great defense. Matt Prater would kick a 58-yard field goal, and the wackadoo Tebow fans would be like, yeah, see why, yeah. See what? He was awful. So as long as Jacksonville and Urban can just say, it's 1 year, it's a tight end, you're not a quarterback, then it's fine. But you're going to have to, listen, it's going to take about 2 bad Trevor Lawrence starts to get all the Tebow nut jobs, to get them writing the local paper and calling sports radio. That's, Jacksonville is a college football town. It's a Florida Gator town. And so, you know how it is, we're in a post-truth society. You can tell people something. Trump lost the election by 7.5 million votes. They still don't believe it. Vaccines overwhelmingly work. People still don't believe it. It doesn't matter if you give people the truth anymore. They go to their wacky Reddit board and they just have their own reality. So with Tebow, be careful. The power of conviction. He's got a huge faith-based following, that he has got a Messiah thing working that you just can't explain. It's a tsunami. And if Trevor struggles, I can see that fan base going. I mean, that's a Florida Gator territory. This is not Tebow in L.A. Nobody cares. Nobody here cares about Florida Gator football. Nobody in L.A. It doesn't even exist. They couldn't tell you if it's Florida, Florida State. Nobody cares. But you get down south, you get to Florida Gator territory. Tebow is the most popular player by a mile, in the history of the SEC. Forget Florida, in the history of the SEC. That whole geographical footprint, it's Tebow, and I don't even think it's a player next. It's a coach, Saban. Maybe Spurrier. I mean, Bear Bryant. He is so far and away the most popular player in the history of SEC football. I can't even think of a second place. Cam Newton was only there for about an hour. I mean, Tebow is... You can't... Sometimes, folks, you just can't explain stuff. Tebow's NFL following... When I worked at ESPN... They would have articles, and people were like, you guys never stop talking about Tebow. We couldn't. Literally, the Tebow articles in Denver were not only the number one most downloaded by America, it was like triple over the average Giants article, Cowboy article, Packer article, Steeler article. You know, sometimes you just can't explain stuff. I think 100 years from now, it'll be hard to explain the Trump presidency. I don't know how you're going to explain it. But it is what it is. Stuff gets momentum, and I hope it works. But I'm telling you, it's thank God it's urban, and thank God it's a one-year contract. So he'll be a part of the Jags. Listen, it'll be fodder for sports talk radio, you know.
You got to respect the hustle, man.
Boy, he's a hustler.
He's gone everywhere. He's done it all.
Jim Jackson, 14 years in the NBA. Couple of games left now. We're getting real close to the play-in games. Jim Jackson now joining us live. So I watched the Knicks and Clippers start to finish yesterday, and my takeaway with the Knicks is, and I feel a little bit with the Suns, the same thing. They're a great regular season story, but I do think both teams, especially the Knicks, if you play them five or six times in a row, I don't know if they have enough offensive juice to beat a Philadelphia four times. Or am I wrong? Do you see the Knicks as a team that could cobble together a couple of different playoff series wins?
Well, they could. I mean, look what Miami did last year. Now, that was a bubble scenario. You didn't travel because Miami last year, keep in mind, didn't have a great road record. So the bubble, you know, fit right into their narrative, a team that wanted to be there and together. Very similarly built to what the Knicks are, a team that is collectively not great but very good. Some pieces that fit together. Tom Thibodeau, his accountability for each individual is why this team right now, especially Julius Randle, is performing at a high top, at a high level. So can they win a title? No, I don't think so. Can they cause some problems in the Eastern Conference playoffs? Of course they can, because they play extremely hard, just like you talked about.
Here's what worries me about the Clippers. They got two stars. They got a 3-and-D guy, Nicholas Batum. They have a nice bench, eighth in scoring. They have a championship-winning coach. But, Jim, when I watched them at the end of games, and I saw this yesterday, what are they? Do you just give the ball to Rondo and say, dude, just figure it out? They feel like a good – if they were an NFL team, you'd be like, ooh, good roster, no quarterback. Mm-hmm. I know Kawhi's talented. That doesn't mean he's a leader. There's a big difference, Jim. You played with a lot of talented guys. Not a lot of guys with 4 minutes left that can go into the huddle and verbally, hey, you do this, you do this, you do this. What are they? Does that concern you at all?
You know, it does, because, you know, I cover the Clippers. So I cover them all year. So I'm more in tune and in tap of what's going on. You know, we're offline, we were talking about this. The quiet leader, Kawhi Leonard. We've seen it before with San Antonio, with Tim Duncan. He wasn't really vocal. Tony Parker wasn't really vocal. Manu a little bit wasn't vocal. But it was something about that team. You knew in late game situations, you knew that the voice came from the bench. But collectively, they were able to surround themselves with guys that, even if it was a Bruce Bowen a little bit, guys that kind of steered the ship. And I understand the concern you said with the Clippers is the fact that Paul George or Kawhi really don't have that in their DNA. Could it be Rondo? That may be something that's in the works right now. I know Ty Lue is really looking at in regards to in the game situation. That game yesterday with the Knicks, to me, was all about this. The Clippers turn the ball over too much. The Knicks don't force turnovers, okay? So those were self-inflicted errors, and the Knicks, a good team, took advantage of it. What the Clippers have to do is play with more of a sense of urgency from the beginning of the game and then carry that through. That's been some of their flaws, Colin, a lot of times during the course of the season, is that it hasn't been a sense of urgency that we need to get this done, more so that we can turn it off and on. And you can't do that, in particular in the Western Conference.
So it's interesting with the Lakers. Last year, I remember when D-Wade and LeBron started playing together, it took about 30 games for them to, maybe 20, to really click, even though they were best friends. LeBron and AD fit very quickly, and my reasoning was LeBron's a leader. AD is really comfortable just being a talented two. He's not going to fight for it. It's not his city. It's not his team. And they just worked. So now this year, they never play together. AD's hurt. LeBron's hurt. And LeBron's going to come back, and he says, I'm not 100%. I can look at them and say, God, they got no chemistry. They haven't played together all year. Or do you look at that and think, once you have chemistry with a teammate, it's like a bicycle. You don't forget it. Mm-hmm. Chemistry comes back in 2 days. Mm-hmm. How do you look at the Lakers having not played together? They're two stars. Heck, Schroeder's been hurt. I mean, they had new guys anyway. Do you worry about the chemistry thing?
No, I don't, Colin, because I haven't been on the show in a while, and our chemistry is still 100. You know what I mean? We still we pick up where we left off at. But here's the difference, and this is why it works for AD and LeBron. The difference with LeBron and D Wade, both of those two guys had to have the ball in their hand to be successful. Okay.
Yeah.
AD is a forward center, so those who work in unison a lot different. The offense is built a little bit different, so I don't worry about that part of it with LA. I have the game tomorrow night against the Knicks. Will LeBron play? We don't know. But when he gets back in the fall, the chemistry those two have been able to develop, I truly believe will fall right back in line. Now, keep in mind, nobody's 100% healthy. That's a fallacy. Listen, from the time you start to play this game or any kind of sport, you're never 100% healthy because you have some kind of nagging injury. So it's no such thing. So everybody's playing with some kind of pain or injury. Okay, you just play through it. But I do believe the difference with this Laker team, Colin, last year, LeBron trusted Rondo with the basketball. He made plays when both were on the court. As good as Dennis Schroeder is on the defensive end and offensive player, he doesn't give you that same command, that same leadership, that same playmaking ability. So now that burden goes back on LeBron James. And I think that's why they struggled when LeBron was not in the lineup, is because they don't have another playmaker, i.e. a Rondo, that now facilitates to get guys involved. That's what their offense is predicated on. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic for the Lakers this year. So keep your eye on that as well.
There's a lot of different arguments for MVP. I've been shouting about Chris Paul all year. And I like the Knicks. I don't know if Phoenix can go from bad to title. The NBA is a baby step league. You're bad, you get better, you get a star, you get really good, you win a couple playoffs, you win a title. Like, I think Utah has gone through that progression with Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Denver, similarly, they're about ready to take the big step. I look at Phoenix and I think this has been too much too quickly. But I do look at Chris Paul and I think, Lord, if the word valuable means anything, he's it. How do you look at the Suns and how do you look at Chris Paul in the awards after the year?
Well, it's two things, Colin. We got spoiled and we watched this Phoenix team go 8-0 in the bubble last year, okay? So they learned how to play in some situations where the games matter. May not have been playoffs, but they played, you know, a form of basketball that allowed them to be successful. So now you fast forward to this year. You give a lot of credit to Chris Paul because of what he's been able to do. But you also got to give credit to Monty Williams and the development and maturity of this team. Devin Booker matured another year. Cam Johnson matured another year. Ayton matured, okay? Mikal Bridges. So it's not just Chris Paul, even though he's the catalyst. He's the one that kind of makes this thing run. The maturity aspect of going through what Phoenix went through last year and growth, the confidence, that also plays into why Phoenix has actually been an outstanding team through the course of this year. Now, the step thing is correct because I haven't seen a team in the league as long as I've been in that all of a sudden go from, you know, young and talented to a championship caliber team when they win it the next year. Because you got to figure out in the playoffs, you know, the young talent of how to survive and how to deal with adversity in the playoffs. And Denver, you talked about it, been through it. Utah has been through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and look at Portland. Portland's been to the Western Conference Finals, but yet they can't crack that code to get over, even with outstanding play from D. Lillard and also C.J. McCollum. So Phoenix is tracking on it. Can they get to a Western Conference Final? Do they have the talent to do it? Yeah, they do. But it's a process to it, and a lot of times we want to accelerate that because we see the talent, we see, you know, what they've been able to accomplish. So it's going to be interesting to see if they land in that second position, how they navigate their way through the playoffs, having a core of young talented players that really haven't been in the depths of the playoffs yet.
By the way, did you hear the news? Tim Tebow's back in the NFL. You're a football fan.
Hey, listen, but my boy took care of Urban then. Come on, you know what that's all about. Come on. Urban took care. Now, you had a point, though, when you were talking earlier about the fan base and about what happens if the starting quarterback struggles and what kind of dilemma that is, because you know right away, as soon as the struggle happens, they're going to be calling for Tebow.
Oh, God.
And that's an unfair scenario to both of them, really, because the high expectations coming from the fan base that Tim Tebow could be the savior. Now, we don't know. That's a long way down the line. But the scenario still presents itself like that.
Yeah, it does. Jim Jackson, good seeing you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Come on, man. Always. Enjoy some cigars for me, brother.
You don't have to talk me into that. I'll tell you, the Tebow stuff is crazy. It's crazy, crazy. It's a one-year deal. People think I'm anti-Tebow. I'm anti-Tebow as a franchise quarterback. I'm not anti-Tebow in the locker room. That's not you. I'm anti-Johnny Manziel, franchise quarterback and locker room. Tebow, I'm pro-locker room. Get him in here. I just don't. Stop with the quarterback talk. Stop.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Alex with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
React to the crazy Tebow fans, Colin. That's the only thing that I just hope doesn't get to him. He has such a good head on his shoulders. I don't think it will.
Well, he's also significantly more talented.
Yeah.
But this feels like and this is not a knock on Urban, but this feels like, does Urban quite understand the temperature of the room in the NFL? Jacksonville is small town, Tebow territory. I don't know if Urban quite understands how, and this is not a shot at Tim.
No.
How disruptive this could become.
They might have more fans for him there than they do for Trevor Lawrence out.
After a 3-game losing streak?
Yeah.
He will. And by the way, Gardner Minshew is a much better quarterback in the NFL than Tebow.
Yeah.
This happens all the time. Some guys are built for college football. There was a kid at USC named Harold Miner. He was built for college basketball. They were called him Baby Jordan. He wasn't built for the NBA. He didn't have a shot. Adam Morrison, quirky, odd, built for college basketball. Not physical enough, did not work in the NBA. There are guys, Gardner Minshew is actually a better pro than Tim Tebow, though Tebow was a much better high school college player. And if Minshew and Tebow, because Minshew can make every throw, Tebow can't. He simply can't make a big chunk of the throws.
It's going to be interesting to see. Well, let's get to the news. Luka Doncic has had a hard time controlling his temper lately, and once again yesterday, it got the better of him. Doncic was ejected Sunday versus the Cavs for a run-in with Colin Sexton. The two players were going after a rebound when Colin bumped Luka. Luka responded by taking a shot at Colin. Doncic came into the game with 15 technical fouls, which leaves him with one more before an automatic one-game suspension. Now, yesterday's flagrant 2 foul won't count towards the technical count, but it could result in further discipline from the league office. We were just talking about this on Friday.
Luka is a 24/7 complainer. Just never ends with him. And then right there, he should be kicked out. You can't do that. You can't take a whack at a guy. It's obvious.
No, he's aware of it. He brought attention to it. New said last week that he has to calm down. He didn't. So it's a little bit of an issue there. Just a tad bit. Well, let's move on because the Vikings drafted quarterback Kellen Mond in the third round of the draft. And GM Rick Spielman let current quarterback Kirk Cousins know that Mond's presence is solely as a backup option.
I spoke to him Saturday morning, him, and talked to his agent. Just let him know that we want to make sure we have competition behind him. There's no doubt Kirk's our quarterback going forward. And that, we want to create competition to see who's going to be the backup. And no, Kirk was great. He understands, and he knows he's our guy. His agent knows he's our guy.
Yeah, whatever. That's what they said about Trubisky in Chicago. Just listen, folks. You got to be able to read through the lines. He's our guy until we can get out of this contract and get somebody with a higher ceiling. So,
all right, I'll leave it at that. Let's move on because there was a huge crowd in attendance for this weekend's Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders fight. The crowd was so large that, in fact, it set a U.S. indoor boxing event record despite it still being a pandemic.
Wow.
More than 73,000 fans attended the fight at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas, breaking the previous record set at a Muhammad Ali fight in 1978 by nearly 10,000 people, Colin. People are just craving live sports right now.
People are craving anything.
Anything.
Socialization, restaurants, anything.
Anything. But I mean, 73,000, that's a bit much for me.
And Canelo's not a big personality. He's a great fighter. He's not a huge person. He's not like Conor McGregor or Ali or Sugar Ray Leonard. He's not a huge personality. But I'll tell you what, Texas likes their boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Texas, it's one of those. there are certain I've always wondered why they don't have more big fights in Texas. Like New York, Vegas, we've always understand. But I mean, there are a lot of sports fans in Texas. They like their high school football. They like their baseball. Texas is
high school football.
Jerry's smart enough to know.
Yeah.
We don't need the coasts. We can be right smack dab in the middle of the country, and we'll do. I think UFC's had a couple of, and UFC had a couple of cards.
I think
Oklahoma or Texas. I'd have to look that up, but it's a. I'm not surprised the crowd was big.
Yeah, and they might be getting some more fights after this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Tim Tebow's a Jag for a year. More thoughts on that in the three-word game. Coaching hires, free agency, draft is over. Three words, AFC today, NFC tomorrow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We call the three-word game, forcing people to be succinct. You can describe almost anything in life, especially sports, in three words. Free agency is over. The draft is over. Tim Tebow did get added to the Jags as a tight end, a one-year deal today. But it's time for a three-word game to sum up the AFC as we now move into camp. Buffalo Bills, building a juggernaut. They won their first AFC East Division title since 95. Their weakness was a pass rush, and they used their first two picks on pass rushers and defensive linemen in the draft. The Dolphins, Tua's new toys. Well, they don't know if Tua is going to make it, so they have helped him by adding Will Fuller, by adding players on the outside in the draft. Whether or not he makes it, he was near the bottom in the NFL in passing yards per game, so Tua's got new toys. The New York Jets, Salah to prove. That's Robert Saleh, sorry for that. Basically, this is the worst roster in the division. This is the worst offensive line in the division. He's got a rookie quarterback, and he is a rookie head coach. The New England Patriots, ready to relaunch. Biggest spenders by a mile in free agency, over $300 million. They went and got two tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. They got Nelson Aguilar as well. And apparently now Belichick stepping back during the draft to let his scouts take over. So they are ready to relaunch. The Steelers, pit of misery. Lost five of their last six. They've lost seven of their last 10 playoff games. They're holding on valiantly to Big Ben, but this is a team that makes too many mistakes in big spots, and Big Ben showed real signs last year of erosion at the end of the year. Browns, fully baked brownies. Baker Mayfield, for the first time since 1950, the Cleveland Browns will start 3 years in a row with the same starting quarterback. I'm reading it right here. First time since 1950. That doesn't even sound right. Jaguars, draft to admire, as in Urban Meyer. Listen, they went and got Trevor Lawrence and ATM from their, did I screw that up and have the Ravens wrong? Let me do that again. Let's do the Ravens one more time. My bad. Ravens, next level Lamar. Listen, he declined in all the key stats last year. They drafted a wide receiver, Rashad Bateman. They acquired a receiver, Sammy Watkins. So they went after their number one liability, perimeter speed and playmakers. How about the Bengals? Brought Burrow's buddy. Yep, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, 1,800 yards in college. Burrow strongly lobbied for him in the offseason, and they went and got, in my opinion, one of the best college receiver talents since Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech. Texans, Texas-sized mess. Only team not to draft a player in either the first or second round this year. Don't love the coaching hire. Don't like their front office dysfunction. Colts, Wentz upon a time. Listen, they had the third fewest turnovers last year in the NFL, and Wentz led the NFL in interceptions last year. So part of what makes this interesting is, can they pull back Wentz from his playmaking just a tad and make him play more of a Colts cultural style? Here we go to the Jaguars. Draft to admire, as in Urban Meyer, who added Tim Tebow today. Listen, they added Marvin Jones. They added Carlos Hyde. They draft a quarterback and a running back in the first round. They're going to go down swinging. I do think offensively, they'll be a very tough out next year. Titans. Nashville, no show. Their defense was bad last year. They tried to shore it up in free agency. But I think Ryan Tannehill, without Arthur Smith, his coordinator, will step back. How about we go to the AFC West? Chargers. Just protect Justin. That being Justin Herbert. They had the lowest rated offensive line in the NFL last year. Corey Linsley from the Packers brought over the number one rated center. Broncos need to unlock, meaning get rid of Drew Lock. Since Peyton Manning left, they're 30th or 31st in every key passing statistic. Chiefs, brand new line. Patrick Mahomes was pressured more than any quarterback in Super Bowl history. They went out, Joe Tooney, Kyle Long, Orlando Brown. They fixed it. Finally, Raiders. Just win, maybe. Do you know the Raiders have just one winning season since 2003? Fewest, believe it or not, in the National Football League. By the way, Jazz Warriors are Discover Card key matchup tonight. Matches all the cash back you end your first year automatically with no limit. How great is that? Discover is accepted in 99% of the places in America that accept credit cards. Limitations do apply. All right, we are done for today. Tim Tebow, one-year contract with the Jaguars, reuniting with Urban Meyer. He will be a tight end. It's the Herd.